In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Every once in a while, I'll come across a sign warning against some ridiculous situation that I think to myself, who would ever even think about doing such a thing? What use could this sign possibly have? Or I read about some law that was passed that seems totally unnecessary. But the reality is that the sign and the law exist because someone did that very unimaginable thing that I can't imagine anyone ever doing. That there was a reason why someone felt the need to put up that sign. And separated from their purpose, these warnings appear to be completely pointless. So it's important that we not lose sight of why they exist. And so it is with the rules that God puts before us. And there's one that seemed to create a significant amount of friction between Jesus and the Pharisees. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. This is the fourth commandment. Well, in the reading today, Jesus is back at it again, breaking this fourth commandment. One of, like, many, many instances where he does this. And always he does it for the salvation of the person he encounters. So he heals Simon Peter's mother-in-law on the Sabbath. A man with a withered hand in the synagogue on the Sabbath. A man born blind in Jerusalem, his sight restored on the Sabbath. At a Pharisee's house, a demon-possessed man in Capernaum, a lame man by the pool of Bethesda. The disciples were picking grains, the heads of grain as they walked through a field on the Sabbath. And then the gospel today, this woman crippled for 18 years, who Christ comes to and releases her from her infirmity on the Sabbath. And the majority of those times, Jesus is confronted by the Pharisees and criticized. And so Jesus' response to them is fairly consistent. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And another time, which of you having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well would not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath? And again, you hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? And not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from her bond on the Sabbath day? The Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So this last one was the response from today's gospel. And the very next thing that Jesus says is he asks a question. What is the kingdom of God like? And then he goes on to give a series of descriptions of what God's kingdom is like, so that we understand what all of these commandments are for. They are to lead us to his kingdom. Not simply a set of rules that we have to follow for their own sake, not just to prove our obedience to God, but for our direction to the kingdom of heaven. Christ came to reveal himself to us, to free us from sin and death, and to lead us to his kingdom. And as Orthodox Christians, we have lots of these traditions and rules. that are applied to our daily life. We're expected to fast, to read the Bible every day, to go to confession. We're told how to dress and behave in church, how and how often we ought to pray. We're expected to get a blessing before doing anything in the ministry of the church. Do these things. Don't do those things. Does it ever seem like that? It can. But it's important to understand the goal of each and every one of these rules. It's to purify us from our sins and to instill in us, in the place of these sins, virtues that bring us close to Christ so that we can become more and more like Him. Everything in the church points us to Christ, with everything then offered to Him in love. Everything in the church points us to Christ, with everything offered back to Him in love. But fasting for the sake of fasting is not beneficial, because Christ is not there. It's just a bunch of rules about food. Going to church to check off a box becomes an empty ritual if it's not done in love for God. Now, one being dishonest with himself might think, ah, the priest just told me I don't have to fast and I don't have to go to church. But what Christ calls us to is not to neglect the good things that He has given us in His church, but to ensure that they are filled with Him and remain connected to their purpose, bringing us to Christ and His kingdom. We get so wrapped up in the rules that we forget why they exist. At another time, Jesus warns, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You tithe mint and dill and cumin, which the law required, and have neglected the weightier matters of the faith. The weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others." Both and. And when we follow the rules begrudgingly out of obligation, without love, we become like these Pharisees. Their life was centered around the rules, trying to follow each and every one of them, and making sure everyone else did also. But Christ compares the Pharisees to whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within they're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. They followed the commandments, and they were good at it. They followed the commandments, but they did it apart from God, not out of love for Him, but out of service to this system. And in healing this woman who was infirm for 18 years, Christ calls His people to His righteousness, not their own version of it. He calls us to keep the commandments without neglecting the weightier matters of mercy, faith, and a life conformed to God. As we continue closer to the nativity of our Lord, let us prepare a place for the one who so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life, who came not to condemn the world, but that the world might through Him be saved. So that each moment is offered to Christ in love and serves to bring us closer to Him. Amen.